James chapter 4, and we get to finish James chapter 4 tonight. Amen. And next Wednesday night, Brother Absher will be preaching. And so it won't be until next year. And we get to finish James chapter 5. If you'll stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to take a look at this ending here, this chapter. But I do want to give us some context, so we'll just go ahead and read here these 17 verses, and I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. James chapter 4, and we're going to go over the last 6 or 7 verses and just kind of give a summary of the chapter, but to just kind of close out the year, because I know I'm going to have to come back around and do a little bit of a review after a couple of weeks vacation. So that usually happens in education when we get around to that point. But it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we've already talked at length about the things of the first part of the chapter, so I'm not going to go over those. We talked about last week, 7 things that's going to help us submit to God and humble ourselves before God, because we know he giveth more grace, and he giveth grace to the humble. And that's what we need to be, to humble ourselves, as it says in verse 10, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You understand that we need to maintain a state of humility. You say, why do we need to maintain a state of humility? Because we are proud beings. Yeah. If you will, I don't know if any scholars would argue with me with this or not, but if you talk about original sin kind of thing, maybe in mankind, what could it have been? Well, in my opinion, again, I told you I'd say that, right? When it was my opinion. I think the original sin is pride. What happened to the devil when iniquity was found in him? What was his problem? It was an eye problem, right? He had a pride problem. Because he said, I will be like the Most High, right? I will sit on the sides of, that was his whole mantra, right? He was a beautiful creature. He was a beautiful being, a very powerful being that God created. But he found himself lifted up in pride. How many times do we see in scripture here where that happens to people, right? If you will, good people. Remember Hezekiah and his difficulties, right? There are others that were kings and others that were servants. Pride got a hold of them and What do? They stumbled and fell, right? Because pride goes before destruction, right? And the haughty spirit before a fall. So we understand that these things are true. And we know that we, excuse me, we've got to continue to humble ourselves. So just like confessing our sins is maybe a daily thing, and maybe just like submitting ourselves to God is a daily thing, humbling ourselves before God ought to be a daily thing. Hey, let me ask you a question. Those seven things we went over last week, let's see here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Is that a daily thing? Is that a good idea? Resist the devil. Daily thing? Yeah, absolutely. How about this one? Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. Yeah. Purify your hearts. Yes, right? Be afflicted and mourn. Right? And then humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. These are all daily things. We don't need to, you know, we're coming up on the new year, and I'll have something to say about this later. New Year's resolutions. If any of you in here are New Year's resolutions people, I'm sorry already, okay? Dumb. Right? Don't wait till a new year. And honestly, how long do New Year's resolutions last? 2 weeks. That's like a record. A day? 12 hours? You know, it just something always comes up, right? That's what we say. But, I mean, really, think about it. If you need to do something, when should you do it? Yeah, now, right? So these things are important, and we need to have a right relationship with God all the time. You understand that if we do not continue in this relationship day after day after day, right? That gap between us and the Savior will grow larger and larger. You know what they call that? Backsliding. Okay? So we need to deal with it on a daily basis. Now, look at verse 11 as we move on here. We need to deal with pride, because when we're in pride, we're not kind to others. You ever notice that? When we're in the flesh, when we're in our own pride, the way we deal with others is not correct, is it? Think about some of the ways that you've talked to other people before. And maybe you're like me, because I've made this error as well. Usually the things you point out in others are the things that are wrong in you. You ever have that problem? Yeah, I do too. I realize it sometimes. You'll be sitting in the preaching service and you're hearing a message and you're like, yeah, so-and-so needs that. I hope they're listening. You look over there, are they sleeping? You know? Or I like the one where the husband pokes the wife and the wife pokes the husband, you know, and you're like, are you listening? You need this. And they're like, are you listening? You need this. And because that's how we are, right? And so, James, I hope you see the progression here. He first talks about their relationships amongst one another at the beginning of the chapter. He's talking about fightings and wars and things and lust and desire. And we know that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? These things are of the world and not of God. They need to be rooted out of our life. And it causes all kinds of problems. But he says here, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So what is James talking about here? Is he talking about pointing out something in somebody's life that's a problem? Is that what he's talking about? No. You know what I want? I want people to tell me when something isn't right in my life. Okay? Now, I may not respond to you the right way the first time because I'm human. Right? But deep down inside, we want
We should want to, I hope, anyways, if we have any kind of connection with the Lord, we should want correction, right? Now, we may not always respond right the first time, but hopefully, eventually, it'll get through our thick heads that we need to be corrected, right? And get some things straight in our lives. But that's not what he's talking about. And neither is that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7 in just a moment, and Romans chapter 14. But I hope you understand that when it says not to judge one another, okay, there's a very special connotation about that. All right? It's not just, well, you're doing this wrong, or you're... That's not necessarily what it's talking about. It's about the motive, right? It's about our heart of the matter. Here, James very specifically says, speak not evil one of another. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. So, here we're talking about speaking evil of a brother, right? So what does that have to do with? That has to do with motive, and it has to do with intent, right? That has to do with the very truth of the matter down to the letter of the law, right? So we've got to make sure that we are not putting ourselves in that position. Who puts themselves in that position? A prideful person. All right? Someone who thinks that they're the king and ruler of overall. All right? I often say to my own children sometimes, who died and made you the father of this house? You know? Because they're bossing around their brothers and sisters and go, like, I never gave you that authority. That's not your position. That's my spot. You can't have my spot until you're the father. I'm the father. I get to bark orders. You don't. Okay. So who are we to tell our brother and sister in Christ or judge them in their motives or in their life, etc.? Who has given us that authority? Not God, right? Now, is our motive to restore them or destroy them? What's our motive? Doesn't the Bible say something about ye who are spiritual, restore such an one? What's our motive? When in Matthew, we'll go ahead and go there to Matthew chapter 7 if you'd like. But I want you to understand that the whole source of this is that pride, that lack of humility in our lives. We are not to lord over one another. For instance, I'm going to preach salvation, right? By Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, only Christ, right? Now, if you receive Christ and give a public profession of your faith, who am I to judge if you really got saved or not? You know, I really don't like that. People will give a testimony and they'll say, boy, that person, I told them the scriptures and they just started bawling like a baby. They really got saved. So someone who doesn't bawl doesn't really get saved? Right? Or another will give a testimony and say, yeah, I was out and this person, you know, I talked to them and they just completely fell apart and they got gloriously saved. Is there an unglorious way to be saved? I don't understand this, right? Okay. It's just salvation. Who am I to judge? I don't have a little beeper, you know, that says, you're really born again. You're really not. You're, you know, what? Why? What? Who died and made me the judge? Right? Well, God. Let's check. God was still on the throne, is He not? Isn't He the judge over all things? He's the one that gets to judge. Now, what things should we judge or should we be a part of judging? Well, listen. The Bible is very clear. If there's a brother and sister in Christ that's involved with things they ought not to be involved with, and by the way, that's not judging someone. That's just knowing the parameters. There's a very clear way to go about it, right? Yeah, there's a biblical way to go about trying to help restore them into fellowship. But if they don't want to, that's when we judge and we say, I just cannot be associated with you. Okay? Now, you don't have to go into their motive. You don't have to speak evil about them. This is what James is saying here. You're not judging them according to the law. You're just saying, look, God says that I'm supposed to just separate myself from you. Because you don't want to listen. You don't want to follow after God. I want to follow after God. So I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to sneeze here in just a moment. If I look at the light bright enough. There we go. All right. I sneezed that way. Okay. It was coming. I learned that from my grandpa, Tulp. He liked to sneeze loud. And didn't he, Mom? And anyways. But we're not to be the judge. There's only one capable of judging others. That is God, the great lawgiver. The Bible says in James here, I know you're in Matthew, we'll just go over this verse and get over there. In verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Okay? So there's a difference between discerning and judging one according to the law. Now, they're over there in Matthew chapter 7. Listen to what Jesus says. Now, don't forget that in Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about seeking first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Then he says in verse 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? That's a small piece of wood. Okay? A mote. And then he says, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. All right, now, is this talking about not saying to someone else, hey, you shouldn't do that, or that's wrong, or you shouldn't be a part of this or that? Is that what he's saying? No, it's not what he's saying. He says, look, it's about your motive. Just like James is saying, it's about your motive. We're not supposed to speak these evil things of one another. And we're not supposed to judge them and speak evil of the law and judge the law. This is talking about something that is totally motive-driven. Judge not that ye be not judged. Why would you consider the little tiny sliver that's in someone else's eye when you got a huge piece of wood in your eye? What are you doing? He says, hey, beware that if you judge this brother, then the same judgment's going to be placed upon you. You understand that the scripture tells us that we're supposed to consider ourselves lest we fall into the temptations that other people fall into. What does that have to do with? It has to do with our humbling of ourselves before the almighty and all-powerful lawgiver, that's God. You know what? I need to have more concern for my relationship with God than your relationship with God. Yeah. You know, earlier in this book of James, it talks about the man beholding his natural face in the glass, right? And forgetting what manner of man he is. Many times, we get too busy with our eyes on other people's lives, we forget what's going on in our life. And that's the heart of what James is talking about. Remember, he's trying to help these Christians that are scattered abroad. They have a great work to do for the cause of Christ. They have many people to stand before and be a testimony, right? What's the last thing that they need? Wars and fightings amongst themselves. Do you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to get me more worried about your life than I am worried about my own life, so then I can't be right with God and serve God anyways. And you won't be right with God and serve God either. Because you'll be focused, since I'm picking at you, guess who you're going to pick at? Me. And can I tell you, there's a lot to pick on right here. There is. There's a lot to pick on. I could pick myself apart, and I often do. But I don't know to what avail, but I'm trying, okay? Here's the thing. We need to live in judgment of ourselves. How am I doing? Not how are you doing? And I don't mean it by that common phrase that we really don't mean anyways. How you doing? You really don't mean that, do you? So, thank you, Misty. I know you do. I hope you do. The rest of you. But most of the time we don't really, right? We just say that in as a common courtesy. But here's the thing. Some people are so involved with everybody else's life that they forget about their own life and their own relationship with God. Remember what it says in 1 John chapter 1. How we're supposed to understand that there is darkness in us. And we need to come to the light and we need to get cleansed by the Lord and have forgiveness and fellowship with Him. That's how we need to live day by day. So, if thou be a judge, he says in verse 11 of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Okay, who's he likening this to? Remember, James is the pastor of the church where? Jerusalem, right? So, who are the main enemies of the church there? The Pharisees. What were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were defined by this verse. Speaking evil of people, right? Judging the law. So, because they were a judge of the law, were they doers of the law? No, they were whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. Only words, no deeds. You understand? What did James say? You say you have faith? I'll show you my faith by my works, right? You understand that this is the full circle here of what James is saying. So he's helping them to understand that we need to be in judgment of God's judgment. Okay? That's what we need to be concerned with. God's judgment of us, we need to be in the light of His judgment, not shining the light of judgment on other people. Now, it also talks about things like slander, right? Speaking evil of a brother. How do you know that somebody meant to do something? Many times I'll deal with this with my children. I'll ask, well, who did this? Or who broke this? And some will say, well, I think so-and-so did it. Okay. Did you see them? Well, no, but they were there. Okay. How do you know? Right? I mean, isn't that kind of speaking evil of someone? What if they didn't do it, right? You know how many times I have offended somebody and I didn't even know that I offended them? I'm bold in the things that I say. I know that. It's one of my faults, okay? But it's also one of my strengths. So it's kind of hard to balance the two. All right? No, listen. I've offended people. Just flat offended them, turned them off, and they were flat mad at me for years. And I didn't even know it. I mean it. There's one particular instance. This person came to me, and they said, Brother Combs, can I talk to you after church? I said, well, sure. You know, because me, you know, I'm pretty happy-go-lucky kind of person. And most of the time. And so I go out there and they were very solemn and such. And they said, 3 years ago. And I said, oh. They said, do you remember that? I said, no, I don't. And they said, for 3 years, this has bothered me. And I've been mad at you for 3 years. Now, I was around that person at church for 3 years. I had no idea. I mean, zero clue. For those 3 years, it didn't affect me one bit. You know who it affected for 3 years? Them. A lot. And I said, oh, I said, I am so sorry. I said, I don't remember, and I didn't mean to offend in any way. And I said, I said, would you forgive me? Because I didn't want that to be between us. This is somebody that I cared about. You understand? For them to judge my motives, say, oh, Brother Combs is a mean, awful, horrible person, you know, that'd be speaking evil of me, wouldn't it? Okay, but you don't know what the circumstances are all the time. You don't know what the motives are all the time. So that's not how we're supposed to be. We only get that way when we're filled with pride. That's why we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now, God says, we already read it in Matthew 7, but in 1 Peter 2, it says this, wherefore, laying aside all malice. So these are things that we're supposed to lay aside. If you don't know the definitions of some of these words, you should go look them up. They're very explicit words. Okay, they explain exactly what we're talking about here. Lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Okay, so Peter says, excuse me, as Christians, we're supposed to lay aside these things. All right, what are these things? They all have to do with what James is talking about in verse 11. He says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to humble ourselves. We're supposed to be lively stones. And we're supposed to watch our tongue. Oh, that's chapter 3, isn't it? Okay? Now, let's move on. Because I told you we've got to finish this chapter before this year ends. Look at verse 13. One more verse. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 17, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. We need to be careful about how we deal with others, especially brothers and sisters in Christ and in judgment. Now, go to now, he says, ye that say today or tomorrow, verse 13, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It even is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, before we get to the last two verses, I want to focus on these three verses. I don't have time tonight to really go into it. I teach a lesson on the will of God. The will of God is not some mysterious thing that you and I cannot know. Let me spell out the word, the will of God for the Christian. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Okay? Obedience is the will of God. To obey is better than sacrifice. You say, what is the will of God for me, for my life? To obey. That's the will of God for your life. After salvation, what does God tell us to do? Get baptized. So what should we do? Get baptized. Why? It's silly. Yeah, it's silly. Going under the water, coming up out of the water. Doesn't wash away any sins. It doesn't do anything special. Doesn't get you into heaven. Doesn't get you a special mansion in heaven. It doesn't do anything. Why do we do it? Obedience. Okay, after you get baptized, what are we supposed to do? What's the will of God for me after I get saved and after I get baptized? Grow. Grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm supposed to read my Bible, supposed to pray, supposed to go to church, supposed to study, supposed to be discipled. I'm supposed to grow. After I grow, what am I supposed to do? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. What's the will? God, what is your mysterious, miraculous will for my life? Bear fruit. Be filled with the Spirit. reproduce, serve God with gladness and joy, live a life of abundance? What's this mysterious will of God? I mean, who am I going to marry and what career am I going to have and how big's my bank account going to be? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. This is really simple, is it not? What does James say? Don't worry about this. Don't make all these plans. Today, tomorrow, we'll go and get continue there a year, buy and sell. No, just obey, 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 obey. Wow. I've done the will of God in my life. Isn't that amazing? You say, oh, you're making this too simple. There's no way that that's doctrinal. You find a better explanation. I just try to make it easy to grab hold of. You want to do the will of God? Obey. Obey God. Now, verse 16 is linked to the rest of this. But now, he says, because you're not like this, because you have these evil speakings of your brother, because you have these premonitions of you're going to go and sell and you're going to do these things and you have all these plans, he says, now ye rejoice in your boastings. He says, all such rejoicing is evil. Do you see the common thread here? Okay, because what is the person that's telling you that evil speaking of his brother? He's basically lifting himself up in pride, right? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So are you seeing how this whole chapter works together? And then he says the well-known, well-quoted, well-memorized verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we use this for a lot of applications. And rightfully so. Good verse? Good verse. But don't forget the context where it lies. What is it all talking about? What good that we know to do that we don't do that it's sin? Lifting ourselves up in pride. Do we know not to do that? Yes. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I don't have, we're out of time. As, like always. I feel like I start out of time. Do you ever feel that way? I feel that way. You probably don't. You're like, I'm glad he's shutting up. This is my last Wednesday night message of the year, right? I got to make it a good one. This is where we all fail, probably primarily. Each and every day. In the matter of pride. You know why? Because we're kind of built that way. But can I give you some hope? Because we're bought with a price? Because we have a different father now? Remember, we're not of the father, our old father, the devil, anymore. We have a new father. A heavenly father. God the Father. You know, God's not lifted up in pride. The devil was. And is. God says to humble ourselves. He says, be ye holy for I am holy. He encourages us. He implores us. He begs us. He beseeches us to live a humble life. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Because of your pride. You're going to consume it upon your lust. Why do we speak evil against somebody else? To get an advantage over them. Well, why do we make plans and our own things and posture ourselves for this move or that move? For our own benefit. What should it be about? The will of God. What should it be about? Restoring a brother and sister in Christ. What should it be about? Unity, harmony. That's what it should be about. So what is James doing? He's doing some great groundwork, trying to keep the church strong, member by member. We can learn much from this little 17-verse chapter in Scripture.